Okay. Hey, nice to see you again here on a Thursday night and to be with you. And I've no tricks up my sleeve tonight. In fact, I've got no sleeves just to prove it. Look, none whatsoever. So there's none there at all. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you what's in my heart. And that's some wonderful things. I'm going to give you four words in the next 10 minutes. And I want you to take them home with you. And I want you to think about them. And I want you to keep them in your mind. Okay? Four words. And you will find. Okay, the first one is found in Romans 3:23. I have a moving ministry. I haven't even begun, and folks have begun to move out. There's a tremendous power in my personality, isn't it? And I put on aftershave and everything, thinking that, well, never mind. Here we are. Okay, the first one then tonight is Romans 3:23. Can someone found it? Read it for me. Romans 3:23. Yes? Okay, everybody listen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thank you very much. The first word I want to leave you with tonight, because we're going to do a little bit of walking, and we're going to roam through Romans just a little bit and keep all these things in mind. The first word I want to leave you with tonight is the word, is cause. When we begin to look at the world and we begin to look at things, and sometimes we don't feel very happy, or sometimes we don't feel very well. We go to the doctor, and the doctor examines us, and when he examines us, he takes x-rays and does all sorts of things. He comes up and he says, oh, here's the cause for why you're not feeling as well as you should feel. And you know, we discover when we go to the Bible's like an x-ray, and when we look into it, it's like a mirror. And we see ourselves, and we really see ourselves like we really are. And so we discover that the reason that sometimes we don't feel very, very good is because of that center, because of that word that's in that little letter there in that verse. For all have what? Sin. That's right. For all have sinned. Come on now, all you clever people. I know that if you haven't graduated yet from the school, but you will be able to answer this question. What's the center letter of that big word called sin? I. That's right. And when I speak about I, who do I talk about?
You.
Me. That's right. No, it's actually you, isn't it? No, it's me, isn't it? I. That's right. We talk about ourselves. You know what? And sometimes we think an awful lot of ourselves. We're wonderful. We're made by God. But, you know, in us, there is a thing called sin, and the center letter of sin, and the sin says, I want my own way. Is that right? Your mom says, I want you to go and do something for me. When you go get a message, I want you to go to the store, or I want you to go and tell somebody something, and you say, oh, I'm watching my favorite program. I don't want to go and see it. And why? Because you want your own way. Isn't that right? And so we discover that everyone in the world, when they were born with this disease, it says to God, God, I don't want your way, I want my own way. And this is what the Bible says, for all have sinned. In fact, the prophet Isaiah, he takes another illustration and he shows it this way. He says, look, you know what we're like? We're like sheep. Now in Scotland, we know all about sheep. We not only know about fishing, but we know a lot about sheep as well, because not far from the fishing is the sheep. Well, we're only a small country as well, and you run out of land, we've a little bit more than you have. And then we have the sheep, and it says, for all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. We've chosen our own way. So we discover that the cause is not in somebody else. We're awful good at blaming somebody else, isn't it? You know, sometimes we say, well, it's because of my dad, it's because of my mom, it's because of my brother, and if you're a fella, you probably say, it's because of my sister. Isn't that right? You want to blame somebody. I was so glad when my sister got married. It was a wonderful experience in our family when this man came and took my sister out of the house and gave us the bathroom back. It was really wonderful. It was really a great experience, you know. We blame everybody else. But you know what the Bible says? It says, all have sinned, and the center letter of sin is I, and we've all gone astray, and it's in that. So that's the cause. And something's got to happen about that. Something's got to be done to solve that problem. And so when we come to Romans again and we continue our walk through Romans, we first of all, we pass the first signpost that says, here's the cause. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You're a sinner. That's what's wrong with you. Now when we walk a wee bit further down the road, here we come to, so you got your Bibles there? Okay, Romans 5 and chapter 5, verse 8. Romans 5 and 8. First one to get it. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Thank you very much. That was a beautiful verse, isn't it? That God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Oh, that rings a bell, doesn't it? Now, what's that telling us? It's telling us that God loves sinners. Isn't that right? There was a boy in the Bible who left home, and he was like me. He left home, but he spent all that he had, and one day he decided to come home. But it was where he came home from. He'd been working among the pigs. Would you like to hug somebody or love somebody who'd been working among the pigs? Have you ever seen a lot of pigs together? My, they are quite smelly, aren't they? They really do not use deodorant. I know that. They're very. We had a man in our assembly, in our chapel, who used to have pigs, and I went out to visit him one day, and I was very glad that he had a shower before he came to church on Sunday, because the smell was terrible. But you know what? When this boy came home, do you know what happened? His father loved him. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Do you memorize the Bible? What does it say? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Learn these verses. Learn a verse every day. Get a little card and write it down and memorize it. I used to do that. And it's memorize it. Because you see, my friends, when we do that, we discover this, that God loves sinners. And if there is, my dear ones tonight, if there's a cause, thank God there's a cure. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. When the choir great, they were singing, everybody singing about the Lord dying on the cross for us. I have a lovely hymn I like, and it's O Glorious Love. And there's another one I love. It says, up Calvary's mountain went our Lord one day. And there he is on the cross, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading. We who were blind and unheeding, and Jesus Christ is dying for me. You know, that was the most moving thing in my life. There's teenagers here tonight. And you say, well, you know, I've got my life before me. I was a teenager. Do you know the thing that hit me the most? That Jesus Christ really loved John Clunas. But it didn't just hit me that Jesus Christ loved John Clunas. It was the way that Jesus Christ loved John Clunas. He said, look, I'm going to prove my love to you. And he said, I will become the sacrifice for your sin. And the Father is commending. He's putting his love in your direction. Now you can do one or two things if somebody holds their arms out to hug you. You can put yours out, or you can fold them and not welcome them and welcome the love. And God puts his arms out and he says, you know, I love sinners. And my son died on the cross for sinners. And he said, I'm putting my love in your direction. And I love that wonderful verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he... That's right, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Oh, let's say it loud. Should not what? Let's say it louder. Should not?
Perish.
Oh, does that mean if you don't receive Jesus, you'll what?
Perish.
That's right. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. By the way, how many is whosoever? Can anyone tell me? Did I hear a mumble there? I have that one. I have that one. Everybody, isn't that right? How many is whosoever?
Everybody.
Oh, my goodness, let the devil hear it. Come on, how many is everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody. I said the wrong word there. It was whosoever. But anyway, you know what I meant. When you get as old as me, you're allowed to make mistakes. Did you know that? You're not allowed to make them. I am. But you know that whosoever means everybody. And so when we can't find there's a cure. But you know what? If you get a bottle of medicine and you see the bottle there and you take the top off and say, I'm going to take the medicine, or I'm just going to look at the medicine every day. The doctor says three times a day. So I look at the medicine three times a day. Will I get better looking at the medicine three times a day? No, of course not. Oh, no. If it says, shake. Do you stand and shake in front of the bottle? It's a ball you've got to shake and then take it. Isn't that right? Well, you know what, my friends? The medicine is no use until it's applied. Do you think that Jesus could save people in this world? Of course he can. He proved his love. He died on the cross. He says, I love you. I'm holding my arms out. His father says, if anyone will come, he says, whosoever, if anyone will come, he says, I'll send them. but wait a minute, friends. Not everyone's saved. You know why? Because we've never accepted his love. That's why. That's it. Never accepted his love. And when we come to, very quickly, and the time has gone, Romans 10 and 13, has somebody got it quickly? We may as well just finish it off. We've only got a few moments. Yeah, thank you. Romans 10, he's a greased lightning. He must have had a 500-mile service today. He's so fast. Hey, you read that one for me? Wow, here's that word again. That word, whosoever. How many is whosoever?
Everybody.
Oh, can I put that word in there? Everybody that what? Calls upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved.
Oh, did I hear an amen? Amen, that's right. This is God's word, isn't it? It's God's word. I didn't say it. Don't blame me for it. Sometimes people blame the preacher and they come up and say, Mr. Curtis, you were preaching to me tonight. I said, I wasn't. I was just saying God's word and telling God's message. And God's message says we're all sinners. And it says that God loved us and sent Jesus to die on the cross. And he loved us and died on the cross. And that if anyone will call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to take away my sin. I want you to take the cause of my unhappiness away. I want you to make me fit for heaven. I want you to take the thing that's keeping me out of heaven and directing me towards hell. I want you to take that away. And I want you to save me. Wow. What does it say? It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go home saved tonight? Wouldn't it be amazing to come in here and not be saved and then go home tonight saved? And somebody sits and says, well, I'm saved. Are you a saved teenager? Can I give you one more word? I said four. Very quickly. Romans 12 and 1. Somebody read it for me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, where, who was when? Oh, yeah. Okay. Lovely. Let's hear you. Thank you very much. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? You present your bodies. You see, my dear friend, salvation is not fire insurance. You see, the gospel's good news. But it's not just good news. We have a newspaper at home in Scotland that has on its vans not just news, it's life. What a slogan, eh? Not just news is life. And the gospel is not just news. It's good news about eternal life. But you see, my friend, let me say this quickly as we close. When the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, according to the Lord Jesus, we're born again of the Spirit of God, we get a new life. What does that mean? We're born of the Spirit of God. We've got a new life from God. We have to start growing and we have to start moving in God. So we start living for God. That's why, you know, Christian girls should marry Christian boys. And Christian boys should marry Christian girls. And if you don't, you're going to have problems. Can I tell you in advance? Because you see, let me tell you this, that once you're saved, what Jesus does, he saves you from what sins? All your past sins. Isn't that right? But you know what? If you get saved tonight, you've got to get out of bed tomorrow and look at this world and start living. And you know what? The devil knows you're saved. And he's waiting for you to get out of bed. And he said, I'm going to get you. He's been trying to get me for the last 40 odd years. He's been after me. You know, and the devil and me, we don't agree. Glory, hallelujah. I hate him and he hates me. Glory, hallelujah. It's a wonderful arrangement. I just don't like him. And he doesn't like me. Amen? So we don't like each other. And that's decreed. You see, my dear friends, he's waiting just to pounce you on you. And he said, oh, that's a lovely girl. But is she going to heaven? Can you pray with her before you take her home at night? Ooh, never thought you had to pray when you were dating. It helps, you know. It helps you to get the right person. Oh, that's why Christians should marry Christians. And so when you're dating, look for a Christian girl. Not just the one that you like, the one that God likes for you. Isn't that lovely? He's got a choice. He makes a choice. And he's never wrong. I know that. He's never wrong. So we discover one of the things we have to do as Christians, one of the things I learned, and I close in a couple of minutes, as a young Christian, a teenager, I learned that Jesus not only wanted my soul, but he wanted my whole life. And I get up every morning, and I have done for the last almost 49 and a half years, and I say, Lord Jesus, I want to live for you today. And you'll always walk in the right direction when you allow the Spirit of God to lead you. So if you're not saved tonight, call on him and you'll be saved. Four words. The cause is sin. The cure is Christ's death. God put his love in your direction that you might be saved. The call, whoever calls will be saved. Ah, but the consecration is once I'm saved, I start living as a Christian. So that when I move and walk, people don't have to ask if we're Christians. We have neighbors. I rent a house and we have neighbors, and my landlord was my neighbor, lady next, and lovely, nice ladies, not a Christian yet, and she works in a big department store. And one day my landlord was in there buying a jacket, and he said, well, how's things in Queen Avenue? She said, wonderful, great, no problems. And she said, I am very fortunate to have John and Margaret living next to me. Now, you mightn't want to live next to me. But we live as Christians, you know what? The world will want to live next to you. Because you live for God's glory. Amen? Two doors down is a single girl, and a big man broke down her door one night and trapped her in her house. And while he was upstairs, she got out the door and she came knocking at my door. She said, John, I need to get in. Get me in. And we took her in, and eventually they caught the man, and he's been sentenced for hitting her. My friend, you've not only to trust Christ and say you're saved, but you've to live as someone who is saved. Let's pray. Maybe there's someone here today who would just realize that you're a sinner and Christ died for your sins, and you'd like to say, Lord Jesus, I repent, I turn from my sin today. Save me. Save me now. Father, young ones here, older ones here, some are not saved, save them. And Father, we just pray that you would touch their hearts in a very special way. And so, Father, we just ask you now to bless everyone here. And we who are Christians, O God, may we live as Christians, under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. O Father, we want to be a New Testament church, but may we be New Testament Christians who live in New Testament power. Father, help us to live. And we thank you, Father, you can take teenagers and use them powerfully for your glory. And so, Lord, I ask you to bless young and old here today in Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. We ask it now. Amen and amen. Let's just sing a verse of that chorus again. Tony, could you give it to us? Since I met that blessed Savior, he touched me, and oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Are you happy tonight you got saved? Amen. You know, it's wonderful to know that. We'll just sing the last verse. What number is it, if you want? Okay, you heard it better than I did. Okay. Since I met this blessed Savior, thank you. And I appreciate Tony. And we'll all stand, and I'll head for the door, and you'll sing this lovely hymn. Thank you.